Wonderful. You're in good voice today. Indeed, what do you think if somebody comes up to you and says, "Praise the Lord"? Think for a moment. Do you think they're a little kooky sometimes? As I said, Presbyterians are a little bit reserved sometimes to say, "Praise the Lord." But for me, I don't go around saying that all the time. But there are days I just have to praise the Lord for being able to get out of bed. And one of the things I try to do most days now is text my neighbor, Betty, to let them know that I'm up because I live alone now. And she said I was a little bit perky yesterday. I was perky. I did a lot of things, including finishing preparing for this message. A friend at McDonald's usually comes in and says, "Praise the Lord." And one of the reasons she does is because she finally discovered that Jesus is her Savior. Another neighbor, when I call him, he'll say, "Praise the Lord," and then he'll give me his name. And I often say, "Praise the Lord" back to that friend. But some people, even though religiously committed, don't go around saying that. But there's a humorous way to look at "Praise the Lord." There's an old story about a retired preacher, and I can relate to being retired now for 17 years. And he had a horse. And one day, a friend came along and said, "Can I borrow your horse today? Just like to go for a ride." And he said, "Sure. Remember, though, this horse doesn't take the usual commands. You have to say, when you want him to go, 'Praise the Lord.' And when you want him to stop, you say, 'Amen,' loud and clear." Oh, the fellow said, "I think I can follow that command." And so he got on the horse, took the reins, and so praise the Lord, and the horse began to trot, just a little trot. And the fellow thought, he's going a little too slow, so he said, "Praise the Lord" once again, and all of a sudden the horse took off. And he's winding down pass, and the rider's looking down and thinking, "They're pretty close to the edge here. I have to stop this horse." So he thought, what did he tell me to really say to get him to stop? And so he yelled, "Whoa." Horse didn't stop and kept on going. "Halt." "Whoa," again. And then finally remembered what the old preacher had told him to do. He yelled, "Amen." And the horse came to a screeching halt right at the edge of a cliff. Well, he took out his handkerchief and was really sweating, and he rubbed his brow and wiped his face, and he thought, "Praise the Lord." You guessed it, rider and horse went over the cliff. That's one way to look at this phrase, "Praise the Lord." Well, the psalmist in the psalm, and you can open it before you this morning. This is almost a little study. This is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture besides "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Look at page 983 if you have the Pew Bible in front of you. We're going to look through that psalm. One writer called this, and musicians know it, a mighty crescendo of praise, a doxology, if you would. And we sang the doxology. Do you know what that name means? Who knows what the name doxology really means? We sing it every Sunday in church. Care to take a guess? Word of praise to God. Doxos, logos together, doxology. And it's a word of praise to God. So that's what we use as we sing this song every Sunday. Now, I know that life has its problems, and I'm not a pie-in-the-sky type of person. Every one of us has something, at almost like a show of hands. How many of you never had a problem in life? How many of you have never had ache or pain? Do you say, praise the Lord for your life? You can do it in the quietness of your home. But the psalmists speak of every facet of life. I've loved the Psalms since my seminary days when they offered a course, a one-semester course on all of the Psalms. Do you know there are not just 66 books in the Bible? There are actually 70, because the Psalms is divided into five books. And so if you add those books, you have more than 66. So this psalm is a crescendo of praise to God. Verse 1 speaks of in his sanctuary. Does that just mean in this sanctuary? Or what sanctuary is he talking about? We've sung on Thursday nights, as I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, till we're standing face to face. One of the most often awesome sights I ever saw was when I was at a conference in New Mexico, and there were no street lights around, no lights to hinder the stars in the sky. And I felt like the person in the first psalm. How awesome are you, God? How you speak to me. Not only in a building, but in a space that we call your world, not just our world. There is a difference of opinion among scholars as to what this sanctuary really means. And so for me, it means all of time. In his sanctuary. It's all places is where we can speak to God. I like to look at the moon. And I don't howl at the moon. But one of Barb and my favorite songs when we were in college was Moonlight and Roses. And we loved to walk back from the student center to her dormitory and look at the moon together. I miss that walk with my wife, and I do look at the moon. Betty can attest to that. As we were driving to choir the other night, it was a beautiful full moon. Why do we praise God? Take a look at the song. Praise Him for his acts of power. Praise him for his exceeding greatness. What is that? His exceeding greatness. When you got up this morning, did you praise him for his exceeding greatness? One of my favorite songs, and I pray it that you heard it, me speak of it, and we sang it in June when I preached. And Gary played it this morning. Father, I love you. Father, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Holy Spirit, I love you. When we speak of the Lord, in the narrow sense of the word, it was the true God, one God. In the Hebrew. And when they worshiped the Lord, but for me, that means the Trinitarian God. And we've spoke of that in the men's Bible study because Roger had an experience that one pastor did not believe in the Trinity. Right, Roger? But I believe in the Trinity. I believe that's a real possibility. Yes.
My dad made him understand Trinity was there.
The Trinity is there, whether he knew it or not. Mm-hmm. But why do we praise God now on this side of Calvary and the resurrection? Is it because of Jesus Christ who came that we may have life and have salvation and forgiveness? You know, the greatest act of forgiveness in the life of the church is at an altar or a table, as we have in this sanctuary. Our Roman Catholic friends say the Mass, and that's very important. And it speaks of the body of Christ. But the greatest act of forgiveness, a priest friend once told me, is at that table for each one of us. His body broken, his blood shed for us. What a gift that is. How is God to be praised? We spoke of it with the window. If you look at it sometime, it has a harp and a lyre. And we praise God through the organ, and the piano, and the choir. But you just sang a few moments ago, "May Jesus Christ be praised." I had a Quaker friend. We've lost touch since I retired. But she liked to praise God just in silence. And she said, "Occasionally, I'm moved to speak." And she was a Quaker pastor. I didn't know until she came into my life that they have pastors in some of the Friends congregations. And she was a beautiful person and was a chaplain. But she just liked to sit in silence, using the phrase from the psalm, "Be still and know that I am God." You know, living alone, I have many quiet moments. I can really take the time to be still. But I like to get out. And I like to socialize. As you know, I like to talk. One young woman who's helping us out at the mall ministry is a Muslim. She had to do community service. And I spoke to her when we were gift wrapping the day you came in and had so many gifts to wrap, Brian. And I talked with her that day because she was helping gift wrap. And the other day she just felt, "I need to talk with you." She was at one time a Baptist and for some reason felt a call to the Muslim faith. And she's still struggling with her faith tradition. And we sat for almost an hour. And I just listened to her pour out her life story. And she said, "You know, I'm caught in between." She said, "I believe Jesus is your Savior, but I haven't come to find him as my Savior." And we talked together, as I said, for quite a while. Paul urged us to sing with spirit and understanding. Take a look at the psalm again. After all the musical instruments, who's to praise God? Let everything, everyone, praise the Lord. I first heard this psalm in a new way in a cantata. They had it as part of a cantata right at the end of a beautiful message, and they used this psalm. And all of a sudden, and the choir just started singing, I say, with gusto. Sometimes our choirs will crescendo right when, and you tell us to watch every part of where we are to crescendo. But I could hear that choir and the organ just singing majestically, "Let everything that breathes praise the Lord." Do we thank God for our breath? We've been singing in every one of the psalms. Songs today are based on psalms. If you look at the heading, the scripture verse at the top of each hymn, everyone can praise God. You know, there was a great conductor who came in as a guest conductor at one of the orchestras, well known to us. And the choir was singing majestically, and the organ had all stops going. And all of a sudden, the choir director held up his hands and said, "Stop!" And he looked toward the piccolo player. He had forgotten to play his four notes. And the conductor knew that the notes were missing. He could hear it in the midst of all that was going on. Don't hold back your praise note, my friends. No matter what you're going through, we each have a praise note. That's why I touched the pews today. All of us, all of you sitting here, the choir, me, standing here, all of us have some kind of praise note to offer God. Will you say with me, "Let everything that breathes praise the Lord"? Will you? "Let everything that breathes praise the Lord." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. May God bless you. Let us pray. Indeed, O God, let every living thing join in a song of praise to you. All creatures join and sing. May we praise you through all our days. Help us to sing praise to you, not only in this place, but as we venture out into life and touch the lives of our fellow human beings. And I'm grateful that we can worship you this day. Indeed, we praise you, Father. Amen.